Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with a sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Let's jump in, yeah.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks for making your way here. I do hope you hit that subscribe button. If you're not already, you're going to get new interviews just like this one every single week. You can grab us Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Please do give the series a rating and leave a review while you're at it. We've had some great guests lately. Devo, Mark Mothersbaugh, and Gerald Casale were just here from Devo. Talked with DJ Shadow and the Black Eyed Peas. Gendy Tartakovsky, legendary animator behind Dexter's Laboratory, Samurai Jack, Star Wars, Clone Wars, etc. We talked with the cast of Alien Earth. Of course, that's going to be coming back up in a few moments. But specifically, Timothy Oliphant, Sydney Chandler, and showrunner, director, writer, Noah Hawley. Amy Berg, she's the filmmaker behind the new Jeff Buckley documentary, It's Never Over. Drop by. They Might Be Giants were here. Lucy Anna Buchanan from Chief of War on Apple TV. You also know her from The Night Agent. We talked with the cast and crew of Happy Gilmore 2 as well. Just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. I'm Kyle Meredith. And as I mentioned, so we had a lot of the cast from Alien Earth on here just a couple weeks back. But we didn't have one on that interview. Luckily, we get to catch up now with David Risdahl. He's just one of those actors who quietly sneaks into your brain and refuses to leave. He's carved out a career specializing in the offbeat and the unsettling, which explains why you've seen him in the likes of Fargo and Black Mirror. He's also popped up in films like Oppenheimer and Alien Earth, which is what we got to talk about. It's his second collaboration with creator Noah Hawley after the two did Fargo together. David digs into how the show goes beyond the franchise's trademark monsters to explore AI, immortality, climate catastrophe, and humanity's place in the world. He also is going to reflect on playing Arthur, the conscience in the series, how his role parallels his Fargo character Wayne, and why he feels like he's portraying a piece of Noah Hawley himself. This conversation is also going to touch on fatherhood metaphors, respecting the lore of the Alien franchise, the thrill of practical effects, and how the series' unexpected soundtrack choices from Tool to Nina Simone really do elevate each episode. So let's do this. We're talking Alien Earth, out now on FX. It's Kyle Meredith with David Risdahl.
Your background, I'm sure everyone always comments on it, but a lot going on in there.
I mean it's, I've got to make it look more interesting than this right here, you know. This is
that's the one rule of acting is always remember you're enough. So you're enough.
I sure am when I've got Depeche Mode and David Bowie over my shoulder.
I know we all feel that way.
Alien Earth, geez, what a thing here, right?
Yeah. What a thing.
I watched, they gave us the first six episodes, which is, you know, just enough to be dangerous, not enough to be too useful. And, but this has been such a show that has stuck with me.
Well, I mean, a lot of it's very prescient or relevant with the race to become immortal, severe inequity, this question, like, should humans survive? You know, humans fuck each other over for a percentage. The corporations taking over the earth. It's a lot of it's stuff that I think we're dealing with in our normal lives.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. Like, I think that was surprising too. I mean, when you go into a series, if you get to go to a series completely blind, you know, and when you have something that's got that much history behind it, right? I mean, we know this is part of a franchise.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a monster.
Yeah. The
But
monster.
sure,
Yeah.
but the show's not about the monster.
I know.
And
Yeah.
that's what's so cool about this. So I want to back up before we get into that part there too, because this finds you working with Noel again.
Yeah.
I mean, coming off of Fargo, that's got to be a nice situation. What's that relationship with you two like? Like, how did you be the one? How are you the one that got to move ahead?
I mean, I know I'm always asking myself, same with you, you're enough. I finished up the last day of shooting, Noah sent me an email. You want to come to Thailand? And I was like, yes, I do. And Noah is such a, he's a, he has a huge brain and is obviously a great writer, but the center of it all is a man who has a, who loves his family, loves humans, and has a huge heart. And I feel like in both shows, I got to play that version of Noah Hawley. You know, Wayne Lyon is that for his family and for that season. And Arthur is that in Alien. I think the conscience and the heart of it.
Is that ever a conversation that the two of you all had? Do you ever go like,
I said that Arthur's a foil to Wayne, like there's similar arcs that happen. Like they're both idealists that have their world shaken and their faith and their kind of wives questioned. And yeah, so there's like a similar parallel universe that they exist in.
I get, and I'm thinking more of like of Noah too, because you know when you said that, I was reminded like George Costanza, Larry David
Oh,
style. You know, it's like, am I playing you?
I did ask him that. I was like, I think early on with Wayne, especially, I said, Wayne loves his wife and he's not a joke. And like, Noah's like, no, he's not a joke. He really loves his wife the way I love my wife. And I do feel like I'm playing a part of Noah. I think we're all, whenever you work with a writer like that, you're playing a part of him, no matter where, who you are in the cast. If you're in the main cast, you're playing a part of the creator, and that helps you have a North Star. And I see Noah through an Arthur and Wayne lens, actually.
And you write too, right?
I do write, yeah.
Yeah, so you would know if that's true.
Without a doubt, sometimes a character will come up that you're writing, and you're like 2 years in, and you realize, oh my God, that's what I'm dealing with. That's what the show is about. And it's this thing that I've been internally percolating on for years. And these characters surprise you. Or you have an actor come in and see it in a way, and you're like, that's the character. And that's, wow, what a revelation, an internal revelation of who I am. So yeah, that's the thing about filmmaking and art. This kind of you're it's an exploration of self. It sounds, it's not navel gazing in that way, but there's like a sense of like you're exploring your own psyche through it. And I think Noah's exploring how he's viewing this world and like seeing the scariness that's coming. And do we trust humans? Have we taken care of the planet that we deserve to live? Are we the monster? Let's shift our focus to the insect, that first pilot. And from their point of view, we're the monster, right? And from a lot of species on Earth, we're the monster. And that's a question as we move into this next stage of climate change and technology. Like, what do we owe the Earth and owe each other as we step forward? And I think Noah's asking those big questions internally and gets to write a show about it. And then we all as actors get to portray those fears.
And we'll be right back right after this.
Big news! Wayfair's end of season sale is here. It's Wayfair's Labor Day clearance. Right now, you can score up to 70% off everything home at Wayfair, plus amazing doorbuster deals and 24-hour surprise flash deals on home finds in every style. This is your last chance to score end of season savings, and it's happening now. Did we mention fast shipping on everything? Don't wait. Head to wayfair.com today to score up to 70% off now through September 2nd.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with David Rizdahl.
That's not a very comfortable question to ultimately ask ourselves. What you just said, do we deserve to live?
Yeah, because obviously.
Yeah, if you get rid of us, like, everything else is fine, right? Like, everything continues.
Yeah. Well, that's what the thing is. Like, it's been fine before us, and we think we're the pinnacle of something, but it'll be fine after. And that's what's humbling, and to approach the world with that humility is part of the answer. And I think part of the question the show has, you know, I think Arthur comes in with a little bit of blind trust and pride, and then realizes that he's way over his head. So is the whole corporation, and has to question all these ideals he started the show with.
But he's like, and again, we're not going to get into the plot points here, but this is a good guy.
Yeah, totally.
And with every character, and I think you know that going into it, even if you just see the trailer, like, you know, what you're faced with is almost every character, you know, it's questionable.
Yeah.
Do they think they're the good person, or are they the bad person? You know, do they know that's, and some of them do,
mm-hmm.
you know, some of them are wrong, but you've got this guy here that you get to play it. And again, this is without knowing how this, you know, season ends or whatever, but this guy, he really feels like this is maybe the most pure person there.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking a lot about the people working on the Oppenheimer Manhattan Project. Those are scientists that loved the work, loved the science, believed in the purity of science. And that's what Arthur is. He loves the technology, knows that we're in a race for immortality, and that's going to happen anyway. Well, why not do it in an ethical way? These children are sick, and I don't want to give it too much spoilers, but he's a man who lets his wife and the corporation do the ethical thinking. And he's like, I love the science, and the science is good. Let's keep going forward. And a lot of those people are working for these AI companies right now, and there's a lot of promise for these AI companies. But if you take put those blinders on, then you could end up missing a lot of signals and a lot of warning signs. And I think that's, for me, what Arthur is. So it was important for me to be a purist, a full human. I want to grow that beard out and be like this shaggy man in the midst of these beautiful hybrids and synths, and be a person who believed in it and then had his faith questioned.
Yeah, I got to, I was asking Tim and Alex the same question. Like, when you go into a show like this, like, we're all in that moment because we're in that AI moment too, right? Like, it's funny because everything you were saying about happening is like, I'm sorry, are you talking about now or the show?
Yeah, exactly.
But it is like, do you even notice, like, when you go through this whole experience on this show and this script, does it affect how you felt about it one way or the other?
Yeah. I mean, I was reading so much transhumanism. I was reading Ray Kurzweil. I was full in. I write a lot about this
that
stuff.
That guy is so right about so many things.
I know. Yes, he is. And so did it give me answers? No, but it allowed me to put my fears and my questions into a role and really think about it for months. And I'm still thinking about it. So it's deepened my questions and allowed me to meditate on the warnings. And I hope that's what the show does too. I think artists get in trouble when we give too many answers. I think our job is to actually ask the questions and then have other people take that and have a big discussion about it. So I hope the show, it's fun. It's an alien show, but I hope the show also sparks a lot of discussions around for people. I know it has in my own life about where we're going and how we should proceed.
Yeah. And that's what sticks with you afterwards, you know, even without knowing how this season, Because that's also the fun thing is we're having this conversation right now, you know, and we're talking about Arthur and being such a good guy. And I was like, but still, anybody can go any way in this show. Yeah, you know, that's the fun part.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with David Risdahl.
Were you familiar with the franchise? Is that even important when you're going into it to know the lore?
I think it is important. Some people maybe don't think that way, but I think this lore belongs to the people. And if you're going to come in and play with it, you owe a certain kind of respect to the lore and to the fans. And I luckily was a fan, especially of the first few movies. I saw Alien in my cousin's basement when I was like 14, and I didn't sleep. And I couldn't tell my parents because like they wouldn't been happy at that moment that I watched it. But that fear. Also, I didn't understand at that point when I first watched it, I was 14, it was all about the alien. And then when you rewatch it, you realize the corporation, you realize the greed. It's a movie that you can go back to and see different monsters inside of it and different perspectives. And then as I was prepping for this role, I just watched those first two movies, especially over and over again for the acting kind of naturalism and just like the movement, the 70s aesthetic. And I started to have more and more appreciation for Aliens, the second one. The first one is still my favorite, but the second one, and just how you take a franchise and you add more horror elements, you can take some action, you can play within the sandbox you've already created. And so I was a fan, to answer your question, and I do think it's important to know the lore and to know and I think Noah's a huge fan and has really taken the feeling and the themes of it and built a show out of it.
Because going back to you and Noah doing this and Fargo, because that's twice now that you're part of something that someone else created, and to have to expand on that universe, like we've seen that fail more times than succeed, and here you all have like done it twice.
It's very nerve-wracking to go into, you know, the fans rightly are like, okay, let's see it. And because Noah's track record with Fargo, it gave me a lot more confidence. Because I remember hearing about Fargo in 2014, I think. And I was like, what are they doing? No, bad idea. And then you watch that first season and you're like, oh, wow, amazing. And so if anyone could do it, Noah can do it. And so it gave me a lot more confidence coming into Alien, knowing that we're in good hands. And that allows you to take risks as an actor, because the worst thing for an actor is to feel nervous about that. To think about that stuff too much is going to make you have a less risky performance and not take those swings.
Sure. And then put your trust in the editors. And your performance is there, right?
You also have all of these practical, you have puppeteers, you have actors in costumes, you have these practical effects happening. So you're living in it, and you can put your trust in that too. You know, you're not acting with a tennis ball in front of a green screen. So which is more difficult. Like, so they're giving you the performance. All you got to do is be present and act like how you would in those given circumstances, because something's flying at you.
Is there a trick? Because, you know, we think about Wendy and the others, and for them, I mean, because that's an interesting acting tightrope too, because they're adults with the minds of children, yeah, but they're also superhuman and all of this stuff. And you're acting opposite of that. Like, is there a trick for you as well? Because, you know, if it were a kid, you know, there is that how you would talk, I guess.
Yeah, we talked a lot about the backstory of Essie, Samuel, and I, about how this came to be. Like the dead ends that we came up with. We're also selling this to the, we're going to sell this to the rich. So that has to be a sense that you maintain yourself in these hybrids. So I believe that they are themselves. Like there's that, if we're going to sell this to people, they don't want to think that they're going to die. And then their consciousness is coming up. Their real selves are uploaded. So Arthur believes that. Arthur believes these are children, and we want them to develop naturally. That was all a process, because we want people to feel like they're experiencing life in a real way. So all that backstory allowed me to have the foundation to treat these as real children, just super intelligent, smart, and gifted children, but they needed a strong hand. And then I, as I said, and I don't want to get too many spoilers, but you start to question that system and you're like, what was I was playing God in a way. And what are we doing? And you kind of feel silly for, and way out of your depth in it. And I think that's also fatherhood, which I have not experienced yet. But I, for me, the season's also a metaphor about fatherhood. You have these children that become more than you, and you think that you understand them and you can help guide them, but they're living in a vastly different world than you do. And I think that's another metaphor or an angle through which to see the show.
Yeah, because you see that happening very quickly, like you all becoming very parental to them. Yes. And getting called out on that pretty quickly too.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
especially when you're up against Sense, you know, these Sense characters that just, they don't have that emotion there. I love seeing that interplay because, you know, Babu and, you know, he's got this humanity, but at the same time, you know, it's the questioning, but you've got this others that don't, like, seriously, the way the story was written, mm-hmm. that's what I'm getting to, because it's so well done about these, this clash of,
yeah,
not personality. It is personality, but you know, it's like the stuff behind that personality. I love seeing you all play with that.
Without a doubt. And I felt I think that Arthur had to be the most human that of the shit. For me, I was seeing everybody, you know, Noah does these elaborate screen tests. I don't know if any other actors talk about that, but they're really like the first days of shooting. They're not just standing in front of a camera and feel yourself in character. They're mapped out tableaus. And so you're seeing the show before you start shooting it. And I started seeing what Babu was doing and what Tim was doing. And I was like, oh, Arthur needs like a big, and then we had the strike happen. Right. So I had a time to grow this beard out. And cause I was like, he needs to be the guy eating the egg salad sandwich and having a dropping. Cause he's a heart. And that's his viewpoint in the world. And there are, because that, I agree, that's the strong point of the show, is different viewpoints on what it means to be human, what it means to be alive and living in an ecosystem together.
I love how much thought you put into that beard.
Yeah. You know, it's like similar to your background. If you got a big beard, the acting takes care of itself.
It does it right there. That's right. Yeah. And by the way, I'll quickly point out too, the soundtrack, because you get a score through it. And then every episode ends. Everything, it's like the most perfect song then. Like if the episode was already great, you know, because we know music elevates, sure, you know, cliches, etc. But there's something about when Tool's Stink Fist hits and Metallica hits, and you know, you get Nina there at the beginning, and that's really funny because of the music to come and everything. But
I think it's similar to Fargo. I remember when John Hamm's walking and he has that Toxic by Reese. Noah's known for that, and Jeff Russo, like they're just, he loves playing with tone in that way too, and kind of hitting at, you don't think it's the right song, and all of a sudden it's the perfect song. It's like almost surprises you with how perfect it is. Yeah.
Like it was so unexpected every time, even as I got used to it. Like, man, I love that stuff. This is so good. Seriously, the work you all put into it, it's beautiful, and the creation and the acting, the way it looks. So, you know, I've got nothing but congrats, and I'm seeing the reviews pour out on this thing, and I'm pretty sure that's the consensus at this point. So well done, y'all.
Well, I appreciate it. I feel like I'm a small part, and there's so many people who are working behind the scenes that have done amazing, all these amazing artists from all over the world, which is like part of the cool part of the show too. It feels like it's 100 years from now, because it's like, you know, the cast and crew is from every continent and like 50 different countries. So it's wild. So.
Beautiful. Thanks so much for taking the time to talk about it.
Thank you, Kyle. I appreciate you having me.
My thanks to David. Alien Earth, out now on FX. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Please do hit that subscribe button before you get out of here. If you're not already, I'll give you new interviews just like this one every single week. You can grab us at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith with. And again, please do give this series a rating and leave a review while you're at it. After that, you can head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s.
You get the best in new music, bonus interviews, lots of music news. One of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from XTC, The Last Dinner Party, The Black Keys, Bill Withers, Lobo, Joan Jett, Oasis, Bonnie Prince, Billy, Salt and Peppa, Nation of Language, Lara Lynn, and my interviews with Edward Norton, Belinda Carlisle, and Paul Sun-Hyung Lee. That's what you get when you tune in weeknights starting 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
That was an easy, that was lovely. You grabbed my hand and led me down the path.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.